Welcome to the Dental Implant Podcast with your host, Pav Kara, your source of knowledge for all things relating to dental implants. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you learned something valuable. I hope.
Folks, welcome back to the next episode of the Dental Implant Podcast. This is the second episode that I'm recording today, so I'm going to give you as much information as what I possibly can. I am going to introduce to you a friend and colleague, and I'm actually very excited to have Dr. Luigi Canullo with us today. For those of you who read a lot about implants, you've probably heard his name. He's quite funny because before he agreed to do my podcast, I'd messaged him on Facebook just prior because...
You're right.
He recently did a study showing the importance of vitamin D during extraction and early healing stages of also when that came up, and I remember messaging you and said that I love your work, you're one of my favorite researchers, and here we are doing a podcast together. So I feel very excited. Thank you so much, Luigi.
No, thank you for the opportunity. The pleasure is absolutely mine, really absolutely mine.
If you could give us a little bit of a background of yourself so that the listeners know who we're speaking.
Okay. I got my degree in late 80s because no in late 19 in early 19 sorry and then I got my PhD in bone, and I started working in 1993, and a millennium ago. And I'm really focused on implant dentistry. And as we discussed it before, I really trust that research is the only way we have to double-check what a commercial advertisement ask us to trust in. And in Italy we say that St. Thomas is... the only saint for scientists, and I'm absolutely Saint Thomas because I don't trust anyone anything except if I double check in my research.
I mean, that's fantastic, and this is something that I say as well, is we need to understand the evidence on a deep enough level so we can see through the marketing that the companies throw at us, because there's a lot of money in dentistry, and the companies want us to buy the products. And what they rely on is they rely on telling us something and us taking it at face value, whereas we need to understand exactly what's going on. And one of the reasons why I've asked Luigi to come on today is we both use a certain type of bone grafting materials. Now, you guys know that the podcast before, I still got autogenous bone. I think it's absolutely fantastic. However, there are some instances where, I can't harvest enough volume, or the patient just turns around and says, hey, I don't want you to harvest bone. So what do we do in those cases? One of the things that I was saying is we do have some patients where they don't want an autogenous bone harvested. So what do we do in those instances? One of the reasons why I asked Luigi to come over, and now, I've discussed this before with Professor Elascari, because I know that he uses GTO and cortical lamina. I use GTO and cortical lamina. I know that you use it.
I do. Yeah, of course I do.
So this is these products, and there's a range of products from a company called OsteoBile, and the parent company is Technos. Now, the reason why I wanted to speak to you, Luigi, is I wanted to understand when and how you apply these and why you use these materials. So for those of you who don't know, GTO is a xenograft material, but it's really quite special in how it's been manufactured. So the granules themselves still contain a lot of the collagen, but the GTO, it has a collagen matrix in there, but in addition to that, it's got a synthetic peptide matrix, so that when it's placed and it's at body temperature, it behaves like sticky bone. And this is really nice because the collagen content has been shown to improve the healing of the actual material itself. And there are colleagues such as Patrick Pallacci, and if you're in implants and you haven't heard of the name Patrick Pallacci, I'd expect you very early on in your career.
You're right.
Patrick uses GTO as well, and the other side of the what I wanted to talk about as well, Luigi, is cortical laminar membrane, which is actually a bone membrane. So it regenerates very, very slowly, and it holds the shape really nicely. And I was first introduced to it by Roberto Rossi, and it's been a staple of my practice ever since. So could you tell us a little bit about how you use them and why you decided you wanted to use these materials?
Okay. I mean, first of all, I want to tell you that the choice of the material I'm using in my patients depends on my patients. As you mentioned, the quality of my last researchers were focused on the effect of vitamin D on bone regeneration, on post-extraction site development, and on bone research and bone regeneration. And what we found was that if the level is lower than 30, which is the minimum level, the quality of the regeneration is poor. It's directly correlated. The quality is directly correlated to the vitamin D values. So the first thing I do always is to check the vitamin D. If the value is lower than 30, I tend to mix my graft, my heterologous graft, with autogenous graft. If it's higher, the second thing I check is the shape of the cavity, shape of the defect. So if it's 3 or even better, 4 wall defect, I mean, I can accept the use of only graft. If the quality is the shape is 3, 2, or of course, even less, 1 wall defect, I choose to mix the graft with the autogenous bone. Of course, my first choice for autogenous, so for the graft material, is something which is more, let's say, biologic, okay? And what is more biologic than collagen? So the first choice for a graft for me, whatever is the defect, whatever is the vitamin D value, is always a graft with collagen, because I mean, we are plenty of research showing up that the collagen helps in healing, helps in developing vessels, which are the first step of bone healing. So basically, then I choose the graft according to the patient vitamin D value and the defect shape. Yes, of course, I'm a big supporter of lamina, and especially I'm a big supporter of thin lamina, which is, a balanced compromise between a traditional collagen membrane and a bone lamina, a autogenous bone lamina. It's rigid, but not too much. It's easy to be managed and easy to be cut, to be adapted to the defect. And I usually choose lamina, thin lamina, to recreate the fourth wall on a defect.
So I mean, this is really interesting because this is something that I do as well, but I wasn't always checking the vitamin D levels first. But I've always, the greater, the larger the defect, the more likely I am to actually to add autogenous bone into that. So I'm glad that you're doing that as well. So with regards to the cortical lamina, just to reiterate for those listening, it is a membrane, but it's not a purely collagen membrane. It's effectively made out of bone, although it's got a collagen matrix in it. And the nice thing about it is it's nothing like BioGuide at all, where it always slumps. This thing you can cut and it behaves and it stays into place. And Luigi, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the handling characteristics are one of the things that you actually like about the laminar membrane. Is that
correct? Of course. I spend a lot of time in planning with the computer-aided software my surgeries, and I spend a lot of time in analyzing the defect where I place my implants. And basically, what I do is always pre-prepare, how do you call it, an aluminium membrane which perfectly fits with the defect, and then I sterilize, and then I use it to prepare the lamina. Basically, I want to highlight this concept. I really love to fix the membrane with the pins or skewer, dependently of the bone density we found on the surgery. So I really love not to leave unfixed the membrane.
Okay. And how does GTO compare to BioOS? How does GTO compare to Mineros? What in your experience makes it different? And by the way, for those listening, this episode is not sponsored by this company. We're discussing it because we both use it and I really like it and I want to make other people aware of it. So there's no monetary involvement or anything like that. I'm just making you aware of the materials that we use. And I'm trying to express to you the reasons why we use them as well. So how does it differ from BioOS? How does it differ from Mineral?
Okay, let me tell you that I'm not saying that BioOS is not a reasonable choice for bone regeneration. What I'm saying is that I love to use GTO for my surgeries. And the reason why was previously shown by you. Of course, the presence of collagen, which is to me, is a biological reason, a biological fundamental reason for choosing this kind of graft, and then the fact that you can use as a putty, the density is very useful. And it can be, I mean, let me say, adapted to the defect. And I find this property, this feature, very, very comfortable, very useful for a fast and well-organized regeneration process. Let me tell you that I mean, I'm probably an old guy, but I really love to place autogenous bone on the implant surface. And even if I do not collect, even if I do not open a second site to collect bone, I usually use the bone smear layer, which can be collected by the drilling burrs during the implant site osteotomy preparation. And I mean, I place the implant, I lay the bone layer over the implant. Then if I'm able, I place some GTO over this bone layer, autogenous bone layer.
Yeah, so I find the same thing as well, that the handling characteristics of it is really, really nice, because it just behaves like a sticky bone. This is one of the plus sides to it. And once it's in place, you can mold it and it stays. So one of the issues that I've had with granular things is sometimes you put it in, and as soon as it's wet, it all starts to move. And when you have that micro movement, nothing's going to regenerate.
By definition, let me say, this is a biological definition of bone regeneration.
Yeah. So one of the more recent studies on GTO has shown that in contact with the periodontal ligament during healing, there's actually a significant increase in the amount of VEGF that's expressed on a genetic level. What does this mean? This means that there's more angiogenesis and the graft moves better. Now, we don't know how the product was formulated, because that's a trade secret that NOS are keeping to themselves. But there are some absolutely fantastic people behind this. One of the main inventors is Prof. Ulf Nanmark. And Prof. Ulf Nanmark's mission throughout his career has been to create products which regenerate as well as autogenous, without having to go to second sites. That's the reason why he's regenerated all of these. So as I said, the reason why we like the GTO is his handling characteristics, but it heals very, very nicely as well. So Luigi, on the last bit now. So when we're talking about membranes, one of the things that I find is, you go on a course that's sponsored by BioOS, all of a sudden, BioGuide's the best thing on the planet. You go to a course sponsored by Straumann, and all of a sudden, Jason Membrane's the best thing on the planet. And this is one of the things, when I was teaching my delegates on my on the academy, we went to all the different ones: collagen, dense PTFE, sugared membranes, and things like that as well. And this was so laminar was one of the things that I talked about, and I said I use this a lot because of its handling characteristics. So what do you find its handling characteristics in compared to BioGuide? So if you explain how you use it and why you use it, because for me, as we've touched on already, it behaves, yes, it still needs fixation, but the other aspect for me as well, it generally takes a long time to turn over. And because of that, it holds the space really nicely whilst the biology underneath the bone is regenerating. That's one of the reasons why I like to use it.
I do agree with you. We can easily see in the last researches about lamina is that lamina can be even integrated in bone, which is, to me, a lot. If it's well fixed, it can be integrated, and this means that in the long run, the membrane is absolutely stable, is mechanically stable, which I don't know if can be said about collagen membranes, whatever is the trademark. And I'm not saying that it's the only membrane I use. Of course, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that in specific circumstances, in a specific clinical scenario where you need more stability, long-term stability, where you need more mechanical stability, yes, of course, this is my first choice. Let me tell you that I come from a very huge experience with the EPTFE membranes, and I'm absolutely aware that these kind of membranes still remain a must in vertical regeneration. But I do consider EPTFA disadvantage, the fact that you have to reopen the the site. And this in the static area is a nightmare. It's really a nightmare. And for this reason, even if it's not, it's tricky to use Lamina for vertical regeneration, I do use them in vertical regeneration in the static area. So I really think that, in the next future, we will hear a lot about new indication for this kind of membrane.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. And I think another way of looking at it is if you were to use collagen membranes in certain level of complexity of grafting, what you find is often these collagen membranes, they'll only last a few weeks before they're resorbed, but the bone takes much longer to regenerate underneath.
Of course, of course.
Then what happens is you have a grafted site where the membrane's been lost, and the graft is completely exposed underneath. Now, if we were to have Patrick Palacci on here, he'd just start out and say, don't use membranes, just use GTO. So Patrick Palacci is actually using just GTO without membrane, but I've tried it in a couple of cases, but I still like my membranes in place at the moment, to be honest with you. The nice thing about cortical laminar is it will stay there for quite some time. So that doesn't mean that I always have to slow down my restorative process because the implant head is away from the laminar membrane. Well, what it means is the laminar membrane is doing its job and holding the space whilst the bone heals underneath. And that's one of the reasons why I actually like products as well. So, Luigi, I'm very aware that I've taken up some of your time this evening, and you have other matters you need to attend to as well. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining me today.
No, it's a big pleasure to me. It has been a pleasure to me being with you and sharing my experience with you, with yours, and really looking forward to having and gain this opportunity.
We'll look at a longer chat next time where we'll just see where the conversation goes because I've got 1,001 questions for you. So
okay, really thank you. See you very soon in Porto then.
Yeah, see you soon, Luigi. Take care.